tus ojos.
¡Uy, es amiga! ¡Qué diferencia! ¡Ay,
ay, ay! Hey.
What up, Rafael? No, hold on, hold on. Using my wife's camera. Let's get this picture going.
Dude, we can see the boy.
Quality, baby.
He's looking very nice.
Sorry about the delay. We had like a severe storm barreling down on us. And yep, y'all are got Texas roots. Y'all know how these spring and summer storms are.
Dude, they come out of fucking nowhere.
Well, Dallas
man.
Gets it worse than either of us. I mean, Dallas is actual, like, still Tornado Alley shit, you know?
Yeah, no, so yeah, we had a lot of, like, gnarly, they were talking about, like, a hail core, like, kind of near us. I'm like, all right, I got a garage, I'm not taking no chances, just, yeah.
Well, listener, if Rafael cuts out and we still put this out, you know why. It's because his house was destroyed by a hail. He's died and is buried under a metric ton of hail.
Summer hail is no joke.
Got those gnarly Austin hailstorms that hit like in the middle of the week. What was it? Yeah, like literally just like looked like a snowstorm or something wild.
That's crazy because y'all just had like a heat wave like last week or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so do we want to jump in? Connor, are you ready to kind of get it rolling?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Propagando. It is Sunday, June 1st. It's June! Insert George Costanza quote here. It's your boy, Connor, joined as always by Alec. And today,
Pride Month.
It is Pride Month. That is correct. And we're welcoming back our first...
Just use the first name, though. I'm kind of public now, so don't, like...
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
We never use our last name.
No, it's never.
It's wildly easy to find my last name, we have found, which means it would be very easy to find Alex. But, yeah, Raphael, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, if you remember him from the wonderful duel episode about some of our favorite movies, Connor.
Sicario.
And Sicario 2.
Not as good.
Day of the Soldado. Which we only watched. Dia de los Soldado. Which we only watched because of Rafael. And it was definitely interesting to talk about with you, but it was not as good as the first one. And anyway, so we're back. Rafael has messaged me. And he said, hey, let's check out a movie that came out on Netflix, action movie about, I guess the drug war in a fashion, but specifically the Mexican military police. I mean, or are they just the army?
These are conventional military, but okay. They're special forces.
Special known forces.
Known as the Murciélagos, which literally means bats. But
bats,
translated in the film just because... People are going to think this is Batman or something, I'm guessing.
It does sound extremely sick in English, though, when they keep saying Murciélago. But they do say it a lot. And I was like, I think that means bat. I'm not like
They have to say cabrón a lot.
They do. And a lot of other words. Pinche days, you know, that kind of stuff. Basically, a film that Netflix put out that's just a kind of an action movie. One of these special forces guys gets in a tussle with a local, I guess, drug gang. They have drugs, but they're mostly just a gang, I guess.
Yeah.
It's implied heavily that they're part of some kind of organized crime outfit, possibly like a cartel, and hijinks ensue.
Yeah. I mean, not much to add more than that. I mean, it takes place in Tamaulipas. They reference trying to get to like a checkpoint in Brownsville. Mm-hmm. So that's something that caught my attention. So this is definitely like Northeast Mexico. Even on like the first scene, you see like a sign that says, I think Matamoros or Brownsville, like 50 kilometers. So this is somewhere in Tamaulipas. And I took some notes about it, kind of relating to that I'll get into later. Later, maybe I'd like to get into like the Chapo family deal and current events, but I guess we can go to the movie.
Maybe we could talk about the movie real quick, but it was kind of a jumping off point to talk about Chapo because El Chapo Guzman and his family are back in the news, and it's kind of one of these perennial topics of interest for anybody that has any kind of following of the drug war because he's such a pivotal figure in the. I guess, I mean, we don't like to use the word cartel because we know all the kind of attachments to it. But like,
outlaw capitalist was the term last time. Yeah.
The drug war, America's kind of national security state, parts of, you know, the extended global war on terror. He's just like this figure that keeps popping back up, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, I can like start off by saying like, so last year, like one of the chapel's kids, these drugs lords, like they're kind of like almost like Ottoman royalty. They have like harems and they have like a shit ton of kids. Like, yeah, sometimes like just dozens of kids and like multiple women. Curiously enough, like Chapo Guzman married into like another cartel family. Just like a little side, the Ignacio Coronel family. So one of his many wives is Emma Coronel, who was arrested a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that Coronel literally means colonel, so okay. But not a military rank. So don't be thrown off by that. That's literally the person's last name. And he was killed early on with like the split between Vicente Fox, Calderon's drug war.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so he married like that guy's daughter. So just a little aside there. So yeah, like last year, one of Chapo Guzman's kids, I think it was Joaquin Guzman Lopez,
mm-hmm.
probably turned in Ismael Zambada, the number two capo of the Sinaloa cartel. Like they got him onto an aircraft, on an airplane, and said, "Hey, you know, we want you to kind of review or just look over these like airstrips." And then they were like, "Psych, we're taking you to the U.S." And without like I guess like the airplane like receiver that sends out, it's pretty much flying dark until it gets in the U.S. territory.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then it goes, I think the path was from Abilene to Santa Teresa, New Mexico, and then from there he's Zambada and his son are taken into El Paso. Right, so this is like just probably the only like media that I saw report on it like more than at all was actually like the Spanish speaking media, Univision. I saw like an a video from like roughly like last July. They're interviewing a retired like I think DEA agent by the name of Agent Shed, double D. Spoke pretty good Spanish too, so I'm not sure if he's like a white guy. Yeah. So he pretty much described it as a covert op and like a black flight.
Yeah, literal Sicario shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, literally Sicario shit. Because the aircraft used was originally reported as a Cessna,
mm-hmm.
Which small airplane it wasn't. It was actually like a Beechcraft Air King. So
yeah, that's not a Cessna.
No, that's not a Cessna. Yeah, this is kind of like, you know, charter flights, you know, people, you know, island hopping in like Hawaii type shit. Yeah, he described as a covert op. Like the plane ID was linked to Brazil, of all places. I don't know if you can call it an ID. Like there's aircraft nerds out there that are probably like going to be yelling their, yelling like it.
Registration or something.
Yeah, registration or whatever. Yeah, the route, correction. I said earlier went from Abilene to, flying in the U.S., it flew a route from Ruidoso, New Mexico to Abilene. And then, like I said, in Mexico was filing like flying like while like dark,
mm-hmm.
and it was linked to a company called OM Holdings to someone called Lori Owens with an address at Ruidoso, New Mexico. OM Holdings has like, you know, like I don't know, can't really find anything about it. But all I know is that like according to like the video I saw, O&M Holdings bought the plane in 2017, was founded in 2017, and bought like the plane in 2017. And this is like about a $3 million aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of wild to think that a company would have that much money to splurge on it.
Start up a new business, buy a fancy jet, and then eventually use it to fly fly the son of possibly the largest ever drug trafficker So he was.
That's what we're gonna do once we start a DBA for Propagandos. We're gonna have the Propagandos plane.
Yeah, a Beechcraft. Yeah, yeah. Really.
To the Propa plane.
To the Propa plane. It's painted with our faces on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you fly with us to Abilene, brother? We take him to Mexico.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So this is where there's like more info. So then it later comes out like it's also tied to someone called Lisa Chavez Owens from Abilene, Texas, an attorney at Wagstaff LLC. This is actually a legitimate law firm in Abilene. They have a website. And apparently Univision called this lady and said, and she replied by saying, "I created the business in my capacity as a lawyer. It is not my plane. I am not at liberty to discuss this or any other matter."
Oh,
and then Univision says, "Who is Lori Owens? I have nothing else to say." And that's it. That's the contact with this person.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like some kind of shell company for, you know, some government. I guess the U.S. government, yeah. Who knows? What the fuck?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, and then you can start thinking about, like, you know, the CIA's ties, the oil companies, and then, and then, like, the Bush's family is, like, wildcat oil people in, like, West Texas, and they're, you know, back in the day, very close ties with a lot of, like, Mexican politicians that were oftentimes 1 or 2 degrees separated from drug cartels.
Yeah, for sure.
Here, I may be showing my ignorance here, but I know Bush and Vicente Fox were pretty tight. Does Fox have any allegations of cartel ties?
Not as much as Calderon. If on the subject of like dudes that Bush did used to hang out with that have cartel ties, former governor of Tamaulipas, Tomas Yarrington, straight up, he's in jail for now. He used to get paid off by the Zetas, Gulf Cartel. Then when they split off from the Zetas, split off from the Gulf Cartel, he was getting paid off by the Zetas. And yeah, there's like Newsweek articles of him like hanging out with George Bush when he just recently got elected in like 2001. So,
by the way, we'll get to that when we talk about the movie. But there's a hilarious handoff scene for our, you know, our necessary corrupt government official, I guess, secretary of, I don't know if it's the municipality or if it's like the supposed to be the regional government.
I think it was like state. He was like like the attorney general equivalent or something. That's kind of the
they keep calling him Mr. Secretary. It's like
in Mexico, everyone's like a secretary.
Okay,
Secretary of Justice. So yeah, that's just the title.
I got you.
And and then one of Chapo's kids turns in Mayo Zambada.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the initial rumors was like, Zambada and Chapo turned themselves in to cut a deal. But then it later came out that, oh, no, it was the Chapo family that turned them in. And that set off, like, you know, pretty much like a battle for Sinaloa for, like, the past year. I mean, as opposed to, like, how it was in, like, the Calderon's era, it's been mostly localized in, like, Sinaloa. It hasn't really spread out to other states. Like the thing that kind of set, you know, let's say 2009 to 2011 is that you had multiple cartel splits. You had the Beltran Leyva split from the Sinaloa cartels. And then in the Northeast, you had the Zeta split from the Gulf cartel. And this hasn't been the case. You know, it's been mostly localized to Sinaloa.
It did not kick off like an interregional war, right? The way of the first cartel war, like the Sinaloa against the I'm thinking Beltran Leyva, but that's not right.
Yeah, it was Beltran Leyva, the Beltran Leyva faction. Yeah,
and by the way, it would not be like the Guzman's like first time at turning somebody else in, not even probably turning somebody else in from the Sinaloa cartel, right?
No.
Because like Chapo has a long history of ratting out other organizations, like trafficking structures of like where their safe houses are, where their manufacturing mm-hmm. facilities are. And then I'm believing rumor here, I think, but I think it's on pretty good terms, Rafael, that like he even at one point to get in the good graces of the Americans ratted out guys in the Sinaloa cartel who were kind of becoming his rivals, right?
Yeah. I'm guessing that probably, you know, him turning in Zambada, sorry, Joaquin Guzman Lopez turning in Zambada probably led to them negotiating like a deal with the US that, you know, has been ongoing, that I think finally culminated with them. I think it was maybe early May, late April, where a good chunk of like the Chapo Guzman's like kids and like their families fly to Tijuana and then drive into San Diego.
Yeah.
And
That's the big news is like quietly, apparently all like a large part of the Guzman family has arrived safely in the United States, and then screams in the press releases from the Mexican government who were not aware that this was going on.
And I mean, it also cut like, you know, granted, like the Tijuana cartel, the Arellano Felix family isn't as big as they used to be, but they still have like a, they're still around and they have like plenty of influence. Like, I mean, they were recently in the news a couple of years ago when one of their bosses got killed, and I can only describe it as Coen Brothers fashion by a hitman dressed up as a clown.
Jesus Christ, man. I mean, I don't know, dude. The Mexican cartels, they know how to do it, okay? That's pretty funny.
And also present there was like Julio Cesar Chavez, the boxer, who
Was the clown? Was that some kind of symbolism, Rafael? Or you think
no,
that was
I
just
think that they're
great
just like,
cover?
yeah, just great cover. Like I said, I can only describe it as like Coen Brothers movie shit or something, you know?
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And
Unbelievable.
and shout out to, you know, Mexican boxing legend Julio Cesar Chavez for at one point in one of his interviews saying he did some rails at the Vatican. And I'm like, I'm sure you wouldn't be the first guy.
No,
Yeah,
absolutely not.
he
I
was
can't
like
imagine
telling me,
that's true.
yeah, he was like, forgive me, Lord, I got to do these rails in the Vatican bathroom.
I gotta do some sick shit right now in this bathroom, dude.
He also had one of the Arellano Felix brothers in like his ring entourage once, and like no one caught it till like years later. The dude put on like a little like extra like fake toupee or like mustache or something.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
But
you got to take your old fake mustache off to get all the coke off your face. By the way, Raphael, are you familiar with pink cocaine? Is that a thing that we're doing in movies for Netflix reasons, or what's going on with that?
I don't know, and I'm assuming that they did it just because it looked cool.
Connor, what's the Indian festival of color? Diwali. Is that a Diwali cocaine?
You're thinking of Holy, Holly,
Is it Holy?
Holy?
Yeah.
That is not cocaine.
Cocaína de los Muertos.
So back to like, you know,
Cocaine.
like the Chapo family cutting a deal with like the US. It just makes me wonder like what's gonna come to light like 3 or 4 years from now. My prediction is like the Chapo family is gonna they're gonna have their podcasts in like 5 years. They're gonna be like on
Hell
TV.
yeah.
Like my wife and I, we rewatched The Sopranos or last winter, and then she went down like a mafia rabbit hole and found out that like Sammy the Bull Gravano has like his own podcast and is like, dude's like a chud.
No, dude.
Dude is like a
Wait,
chud.
what? Mobster? They're getting their own podcast now?
Yeah, what's
Yes,
next,
dude.
Connor?
Well, I
Yeah,
mean, it's just like that MF Doom song of
telling on their
Rap
own selves.
Snitches.
Yeah, Rap
Yeah.
Snitches.
Yeah. So I think they're gonna have like their podcast, they're gonna have like a clothing line, like just like it'll be like instead of Scarface shirts, it's gonna be like a Chapo and shit.
When do you think we're going to get to like Real Housewives of
Of Tijuana?
yeah,
The
Tijuana.
Real Housewives of like, I mean, like probably like in like 5 years from now, you're just gonna have like ridiculous Brazilian butt lifts and
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
like eyelashes so big that like these women can like float around like hummingbirds or some shit.
It would have to be like, it can't be Tijuana, right? Because like, it's got to be one of these tiny little mountain towns that like, because wasn't Chapo was holed up in the mountains for like 13 years or some shit, right? Like on the top, like in some little, you know, I mean, I'm thinking like Peru with alpacas walking around.
I do think it would be
It's
really
Mexico.
interesting, instead of a Real Housewives of blank, it's like Real Concubines of blank, and it's just like the harems that you were talking about that are all these people are just gravitating around one individual cartel member.
I mean, speaking
I
of
mean,
which,
I don't.
he did the Elon Musk before Elon did it, because I think when Chapo, when they like tried to catch him one time, he like held up his kid. Like there was like a helicopter flying over him and he was like holding his kid as like a human shield. It was nuts.
Oh man. That's pretty funny.
I mean, if you got them, use them, right?
Yeah.
Why else would you have a kid?
Maybe he had the kid in one of those like Molly gear, like tactical baby holders that the chips have, you know? He had like you know, some mag.
Well, there's a bunch of mags in front of the baby.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the Chapo deal. We'll see what comes from it, you know. For as much as the U.S. says, we don't, you know, we're gonna go gloves off with the cartels. This is the deal, and then in current events, oddly enough, we had Mexico had 8 soldiers killed in like a mine or IED attack in like the border of Michoacán or Jalisco. So this might be the first time it's heard in like English speaking media, but there's rumors that a lot of former Colombian mercenaries that were fighting in Ukraine are finding their ways in Mexico.
Oh, right? Interesting.
Because I've heard like, you know, kind of interviews of some people saying it's like, I'm tired of having like my like brain turned into mush by getting like artillery shelled all the time. And, you know, I find postings about going to Mexico. So that's kind of my pet theory, is that like this IED attack might have been orchestrated by you know, or maybe not orchestrated by them, but at least, you know, secondhand by former Colombian mercenaries that fought in Ukraine that are teaching people how to build better bombs.
Yeah, I mean, that's coming all the way back around, because, I mean, I think, what was it? There were Colombian mercenaries literally fighting for the Ukrainians at one point, right? And that has so much of like the influence on some of the Mexican drug war stuff. And then to have that like double back and also find its way back into Mexico is like really astounding.
Yeah. I mean, like the blowback of the Ukraine war might very well be in the American continent already, just not in the US. Because IED attack that killed 8 soldiers. It went from 6 to 8. Sorry, I had to correct myself. In, like I said, the Jalisco Michoacán border area, was first rumored to be like, Jalisco Nueva Generación, but then it was, the claim was put on like a smaller cartel called El Cartel de los Reyes, which is another Michoacán based cartel based in the municipality of Los Reyes in Michoacán. And then, like, later that week after the IED attack, like, Mexican army catches, like, 17 Colombians there. And, like, a safe house there. So this seems legit to me. I think more will probably start coming out, but the blowback's already on the American continent. It's in North America. So, rumor has it that they're also helping people to, you know, improvised drones to drop bombs. There's already videos out there of like, you know, drones dropping bombs on like,
that's going to be nuts, bro.
Yeah. Drones dropping bombs on the wild Mad Max shit that the cartels build, which is,
they like their vehicles. But speaking of what, we should move towards let's talk about the movie for a little bit, because I think Connor's got to go in a while. Speaking of vehicles, I mean, like, one of the things that strikes me about this movie, we don't have to talk about it forever, because I think in the end it was fun. It was a lot of fun, but mostly it was like a kind of a dumb action movie, which is, you know, plenty good. Yeah. And it was great for a dumb action movie. Lots of enormous amounts of like full auto fire, right? Like standing up, dudes just like assaulting, you know, a safe house or whatever. Lots of fun. The thing that I was shocked by, Rafael, is the amount of Mexican redneckery going on just south of our border.
Yeah, the camo hat.
It said like buck hunter or like buck?
Yeah.
Buck hunter.
Dude, it was a sick hat.
Dude, like no, this exists. literally you'll go to like Northeast Mexico, like y'all are Texans, so y'all
Bucky's shit, yes, dude.
Bucky's shit. Like literally Bass Pro Shop hats. Cause in Northeast Mexico, Northern Mexico, a lot of people go to shop. If you're in the border city, you go to shop like in Texas all the time. That's what these soldiers are actually about to do, if you remember.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because he brings the bag. He's like, I got to get a bunch of stuff for my wife.
Yeah.
Like she wants Whataburger ketchup. I got to
pay. It was awesome. So basically the brother of the big boss, I guess, in the movie is just constantly decked out in what I can only say is like general Texas redneck shit. He's got these fucking obnoxious ass trucker hats on, all camoed out with like embroidered fucking leather. The one that he literally died because he, spoiler alert, he gets shot. And the one that he dies with his big giant fucking Desert Eagle, by the way, on the front of him. He's so funny. He's got a sick ass embroidered camo hat with in orange big letters, like embroidered all the way out, Buck Hunter. And I'm like, this dude fucking rule. He drives around a big giant like Ford. I guess it's like a Raptor. It's one of the like Uber fucking Fords.
Yeah,
real asshole pretending to off-road.
My kind of fucking guy, dude. Yeah. Weekend warrior ass.
Yeah.
One thing that really stood out to me in this movie, and I'm about to display my incredible, like, U.S.-centric ignorance. One, it was really nice to see a movie about Mexican cartels from a Mexican's perspective instead of a Western or American perspective. And what that means, listeners, none of that yellow-tinted color correction.
Oh, yeah, they did the yellow filter on Mexico.
There was no yellow filters. In fact, I don't think there was a single shot in a desert. It was all forest and wood.
Oh, yeah, it's what Northern Mexico actually looks like.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like Texas.
Yes.
And I brought this up to my fiance. He's gone to Mexico several times. She's like, yeah, it's like mostly that. Like, what are you talking
looks
about?
Like what it looks like here.
Yeah. I was like, huh? So it was really eye-opening in that regard. And it made me want to watch more action movies, Mexican action films, Mexican films and media about cartels and narcos. Because in that moment, I realized, oh, I'm watching a very distilled, filtered, literally yellow filtered version of this stuff.
Because there might be a lot of stereotypes, but they're not our stereotypes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One thing I noticed is there's a lot of gender equality, I guess, in the special forces. A lot of women. And in the police force, which I don't know if they did that on purpose or if I know there's apparently quite a few women in the Mexican National Police, right? But
yeah.
But I don't know about special forces. Maybe so.
I wish I could tell you like more firsthand, but I definitely know that like the National Police and the State Police do tend to have like plenty of women in them. The military, not so. Like I'm not sure.
And then the other thing was like. I told Connor about this. I was like, it's so weird. Like you really get the sense like I must never see this in another movie. But when they have a couple of the special forces guys get shot or what is it? Some police guys die or something and they have like a funeral. Oh no, they find the mass grave. So they find the mass grave of these national
special forces. Yeah.
Special forces special guys. Forces. Sure. Yeah. And then they have like a flag ceremony where they like salute them and they like give the families like a flag or like whatever, right? Like an honoring of the dead. And like, I don't think I've ever seen them do the like a salute to the troops, but for another country. Like, it's so weird to see like a 21 gun salute and everybody like saluting the flag, like literally like some state, you know, military propaganda shit, but it's not for America. Like, I just don't ever see that kind of stuff, you know?
Yes, it is like a pro Mexican, pro like law enforcement movie,
yeah,
but
sure.
Like I'm aware of it. Like it's definitely cool to see that.
What can you speak at all to say? Like, what did it get wrong? Like, could this be seen as like Mexican propaganda, basically?
Yes, I would say so. But I mean, it is enjoyable, right? Like, I mean, I'm like, it's a mindless action movie. I did like the fact that they didn't minimize that corruption exists. you know, with the I guess like state attorney general or secretary, that they just refer to him as the secretary. I guess we're really not sure what his position is, that's leaking information.
Yeah, it could not be more naked, by the way. Yeah. Right, it's a central plot point.
That is, you know, something that has historical precedence in that state. The previous two governors, Tomas Yarrington and I'm trying to remember his name. I know the other guy's last name is Cavazos. So yeah, two previous governors, or at least two governors in this century, have like straight up ties with the cartels. So that's that are like dudes are those dudes are literally in prison because of that. So I did like that. That at least they acknowledge that there is corruption that makes you know, fighting cartels difficult.
There's lots of tried and true tropes in this one too, like the cartel boss who's like cooking for his kids, right? I think like Connor, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but like I recently rewatched Casino, and that's like one of the funnier scenes where like Joe Pesci's cooking waffles for his kid. It's just like it's in every one of those like Scorsese movies. So like, you know, you hit that beat, it's great.
It now that you mention it, Alec, like, yeah, it's cooking that like humanizes the monster in a lot of
cooking for your kids, yeah. Right? It's like always, because like every parent's like, yeah, I guess he's not totally inhuman, you know?
Yeah, and you even get like that, like, humanity when he sees his brother dead,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like he's genuinely hurting for him, you know, he feels for him. And, you know, that scene got to me a little bit, even though my wife, like, saw that scene and screamed, Mendoza! Which cracked me up.
Oh, it's funny. And, you know, again, this is me getting so used to seeing Mexico portrayed by U.S. media, is when I saw him approach his brother's body, I was just like, oh, he won't cry. He'll just, like, move on. He'll be, like, totally heartless. It's like, oh, nope. They humanize him, because I do think an American movie would just be like, isn't he so evil? Isn't he so evil and Mexican that he's just like not shed a tear?
Yeah.
He'd insult his brother, and instead they do, to your point, Raphael, like humanize him a little bit.
Yeah. So that definitely like surprised me. Let's see what else. Do you want to talk about like the main characters?
Yeah, sure. Let's jump into it. So there's a small team of five guys. The premise is that they're on leave, and then you kind of get a before and obviously an after. They're on leave, and because of the thing that the captain did, they get thrown into this basically mini war that happens over the course of like 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got to give like some context here. How why are they marked men, or why is the captain like a marked man? Right.
Well, so the two women that came upon the mass grave at the very beginning, they are then kidnapped by these cartel members, and while they're dragging these women out of a car, they just so happen to cross paths with I believe the main character's name was Armando
Capitan,
Captain Guerrero.
Captain Guerrero. Okay. And so he sees them and runs up with his gun, and he just takes out like all of them except for one. And that's when the police come out, and the captain's just like, I'm army. I'm above you guys. Like, here's my badge. Listen to me. So they say, okay, this all checks out. You guys are all free to go. And it's just like, cool, job well done. We saved these ladies. And then they pull off a sting operation where it's not the buck hunter guy, but it's someone else.
It's somebody in his
like
old
a lieutenant. Yeah, it's like one of his many lieutenants. Yeah, I got his nickname as El Marrano, the pig. He's a very nice, unsightly looking fellow. So,
and it's funny because they arrest him at a restaurant. So how fitting that they get the pig while he's at the trough. They rescue these two women. Then they arrest this lieutenant. So you're just seeing like, oh, man, these guys are just batting 100. Like, this is great.
They're
this
super
is great.
Cool.
And they're just like, hey, how about a well-earned leave? Let's go shopping. And so all five guys decide to go shopping. And two stand out to me. There's Damaso, the old guy, and then there's Pollo, the young guy.
And then
there's the doctor. I just picked up
Combo. I call him Mexican Adrian Brody. That's
nice.
Yep.
He is the like not conventionally, but he's like nerdy hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hang on, I should have written all.
I just
down.
Remembered them by their like nicknames. So it's like
there's Pollo, Combo, Toro,
Tank, Tanque.
Tanque. Tanque's the old guy.
Combo.
Yeah.
Tanque's the old guy. Toro, Pollo's the young guy, and Combo's the medic.
And they keep sounding off, right? Because the captain, they have these shootouts, and then the captain has to be like, guys, report. And they're like, Donkey.
Like, Pollo. Pollo's standing. Pollo Combo's standing.
Pollo arriba.
Yeah, but Pollo in this context, like, yes, it means chicken, but in this case, it means someone like newbie, like greencorn. Like, so when you call someone, like, in Mexico, like, oh, okay, está pollito. You know, he's like inexperienced, you know, he's young. So that's kind of what the nickname means.
I figured as much just from the content, because they like would tease him a little bit, but they'd be like, it's all in good fun. And as green as he is, he's a one-shot killer with a sniper rifle. Yeah, he's
a sniper guy.
A headshot machine.
And he's so good. It's like, nothing can stop this guy. Surely nothing bad will happen to Poison.
Not even a scope that's mounted like backwards. If I remember.
Oh man, there's so we'll get to the gun stuff later, but holy shit, there's a lot of hilarious Netflix Netflix style gun use in this movie.
So they hit the road to go shopping, and they the movie opens with this scene, and then it does a flashback afterwards where these cartel guys just like run up on them and just start hailing bullets on them.
Ram them first.
Ram into their car, right? which is a great scene, honestly. We love a car ramming into like style ambush
and in cinema. None of our heroes get shot. None of our heroes get hit at all. And they take everybody out.
And they immediately get out of the car and run towards the gunfire to like knife kill dudes and shit. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that scene was sick.
Take all their guns to get their body armor and then go like, what they hear over the radio that they're like, we're coming, bros. And they're like, what the fuck?
Have y'all like ever seen that like in a movie where they also grab like the ammo? Because I feel like don't see that too often in like action movies.
I really like
we got to get the mags. We got to get the ammo. We got to get the vests.
I really like how over and over they talk about ammo. They like they finger fart with magazines. You see them loading them. You see them calling for more ammo. Love to see it, dude. Yeah. We're not on infinite mags. Although, certainly a couple people in the film are on infinite mags, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. So in this scene, when it cuts to the present day, and this is about halfway through the movie at this point, where it goes back to this gunfight, that is when Buck Hunter arrives, and he is very unceremoniously just like, bop, 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 bop. Like he just goes down.
Yeah, he's last man standing, and then he gets shot, and he has a little speech, and then he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they decide to make their way to the Brownsville checkpoint. And along the way, they come across a little base. It looks like a little building. They're like, okay, let's post up here. And that's when they come across the women that were at the beginning. So even though they rescued these women, they were still kidnapped. And, well, it's deeply implied that they are.
Yeah, sexually assaulted. Yeah, it's by the way, like the women that they help at the beginning of the movie escape. Then we see in another scene that they are kidnapped again. And then unbeknownst to our like heroes, they just stumble upon the place where they're being held and save them again, which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
they doesn't take make out sense, everybody. But that's OK.
They take out everybody in the base. They make it their makeshift base. And that is when the rest of the bad guys just swarm in on them. And they have, what was that, an M18?
An army of dudes. Well, they say an M2, which is like a Browning, like heavy machine gun, which I think they have something that looks like one, but we'll get to gun talk in a bit. Yeah. I mean, they have a hilariously long and extended gun battle. There's grenades that go off that are basically just like 200-pound bombs.
Old guy sacrifices himself by jumping on a grenade.
Or jumping into a hole with a grenade and explodes.
Jumps into a hole with
the grenade explodes so hard there's nothing even left of him. He's just gone.
Yeah, to kill that female hitman, hit person. Yeah. Female Sicario. Yeah.
Sicario? And,
Sicaria, there we go.
And then helicopters show up and the movie ends. So, I mean, it's a pretty quick and good one. I mean, we'll go up into some detail, but that's like the broad plot. I'm not really sure why, given how long this took, that there's basically a thing where he calls in to like the army base with his phone and he's like, hey, we're under siege. We're being shot at. And they're like, oh, where are you? And he's like, I can't tell you. Just meet me at Brownsville in 6 hours, which, by the way, they never get to Brownsville.
Yeah. They never get to Brownsville.
Like, you should have just called them in, man.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, I think he does find out that his phone, he's being tracked with his phone.
Yes, yeah.
So that does play a factor, but eventually they like drop off the phones. I mean, at that point, you can just grab another dude's phone. Everyone
exactly,
has
yeah, yeah, which they do yeah. do. They have somebody yeah. else's phone because they look at the video of the corrupt. It just so happens to be they grab a Buck Hunter's phone. And on it is the video of the secretary getting paid off by his brother.
Yeah, because they awesome. That is set up by when they do the trade off. I believe Buck Hunter's brother is just like, did you record everything?
Yeah, so he's a mile away, zooming in with his like iPhone. He's like, I've got it all on record.
if I were to change that scene, like if I were like, you know, like, I don't know, assisting on the movie, I'd say instead of him recording with his phone, record the scene with like a drone. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, you know, kind of like shows how these dudes are advancing, how they're learning. And he like, maybe it's not even like Buck Hunter with the drone. He has like, you know, just like one of his like little Zoomer underlings. And he's got like,
like a kid. Yeah.
I'll do you one better, Raphael. So you have a drone, but the drone is disguised as a clown. you know, in true cartel fashion, they have a clown with just like these eyes that are like
the drone has a big sombrero on.
Just a hole cut out in a sombrero.
Oh god. He said that's just the Homer Simpson bit with the camera poking out of the hat. It would be a sick excuse to just use a drone shot, which you're always looking for in these like Netflix movies.
Yeah, so that's how I would have changed that scene, because I mean, come on, like, it's to show they're a little more advanced.
I am a little bummed that Pollo, spoiler alert, Pollo gets like domed. He dies very.
He gets shot like three times, and like I almost texted Raphael while I was watching it. Like Pollo keeps getting shot.
Pollo gets shot a lot and keeps living.
By the way, they're going to El Paso to like partially celebrate Pollo's birthday, which they keep joking is like quinceañera, like because he's young.
Yeah.
But and then they're like, happy birthday, Pollo. And he just keeps getting shot. He gets shot in the ass and like his arm gets grazed and then eventually gets shot like in the head or the neck. Oh yeah.
And it's a bummer that Pollo dies because, at the end of this, I did kind of want a sequel. So maybe we'll
contra Pollo, attack.
Pollo's rising or Pollo's revenge or something.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it was named Counter-Strike makes me – in English, it was named Counter-Strike. So I just kept thinking of that game that I used to play a lot when I was, like, in high school, Counter-Strike. You know, I wanted to start this this video by, like, waving around a knife and having a ski mask. Like,
yeah.
The lobby. Just go,
Knives and scouts, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go.
What else? Like, if I were to also change the ending, I'd also have, like, one of the, not the ending, but in the movie, instead of, like, the 50 cals, I would love to see them, like, roll on, like, the little, the house at the end with those, like, monster improvised, like, armor that the cartels use.
Oh, hell yeah.
So just getting rolled, like, in your house with that instead of just, like, the 50 cals.
That would have
been a lot cooler. Because they're real, they exist. I'm sure they could have talked to the Mexican military. Hey, before you decommission these dudes, can we use them in our movie?
Absolutely. And just one of those Ford Raptors with like a roll cage on the front, just like crash into the house.
Yeah. That's what I would have changed. They're rolling up on you with like a Mad Max, like 18-wheeler. Well, not 18-wheeler, just the first part of the 18-wheeler. That's what I would have changed.
Because there's a lot of stuff in here that, one, I think are like direct references to like past cartel stuff. There's obviously like the tunnel and the safe house, right? There's like all of the extreme like weaponry, right, that like they have at their disposal. There's obviously like the, you know, paying off local officials and, you know, being kind of in with the cops, right? Like there's all those aspects. But then like the hilarious levels of violence, right? Like the absolute like nonsensical gunfights are like, they're obviously fun for like a Hollywood movie or like a Netflix like goofball action movie, but they're also like pretty true to form, right? For like these kind of like enormous shootouts that have been had over the years.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Like, I mean, it also happens that sometimes like cartel people are like very strung out where they're not effective fighters. Like usually, it's true. Like usually the most the scariest types are going to be found like in the inner, like the bodyguards of cartel types, right? Mm-hmm. Or cartel bosses. Those are usually reserved as like the most like elite gunmen and like hitters and shit. But shit ton of guns, a lot of cool shit though that you see, like and the mix and matching of guns was just wild to see. Yeah.
Oh, so look, you want to talk about the gun stuff real quick? So we got a classic.
Before we hop into the gun stuff, I do gotta go. So Raphael, thank you so much for being on the pod.
Come back when you're done, and we'll do an outro.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay. All right, man. Bye. We got a classic is like a replica STG-44, which is like a an end of war stamped like a Nazi machine gun, which is like, what the fuck is that even doing here? It must have been at like the Netflix armory. And they're like, that one looks pretty cool.
Where are you going to find the ammo in real life? Thinking that's like super obscure. There's like maybe like 2 factories in Eastern Europe that still make that or something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like when you could have just used the regular AK that does take 40 round magazines.
Exactly. I do actually for like one, like appreciate that this, cause like, this is not, I don't think like high level cartel stuff. This is maybe like if I could guess, like maybe like a big, like local gang or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I do appreciate the fact that, you know, the guns that they yank off of a bunch of these kind of dopes that hit them with a truck and then just shoot at them are just like a smattering of like different firearms. Yeah. That's kind of fun.
Cause that's kind of true to real life. Like you'll see like, AKs and then like American ARs and granted like AKs are starting to dry up a lot because like ammo's harder to get because of the war in Ukraine.
And it's been all used up too, the stuff that's already like on this side of the Atlantic.
And ARs are just they're cheaper now. You can get them like in the US for like $400.
Yeah.
Like they're easy to disassemble and just have a couple of dudes on a backpack over like the international bridge in like Brownsville, Matamoros, and boom.
I have to imagine if you're like an armed young drug thug in like Mexico, like of the Zoomer generation, you've probably only dealt with an AR, I have to imagine.
Yeah. And it's usually, that's usually what they deal with. Like, I mean, they're lighter, they're better. And like I said, the ammo's easier to get now. Like, I mean, the cartels have been affected by the same logistical strains that other parts of the world have been hit with.
Yeah, they come with your NATO rails, so you can put all your fancy fucking optics and shit on there. Another thing, by the way, that's absolutely infected the cartels too is like they want to look like cool operators, so like they also have like shit slapped all over their rifles, which is very funny. We're all the same, you know? Like,
yeah, like the Taliban, the cartels, everyone's rocking Taliban, and has their baseball hats backwards now.
Well, the Taliban got all their shit for free, so like I can't even hate on them for that one.
What else on the guns?
Well, the heavy machine guns. Well, by the way, like that, the scenes where they're like they have their like mercenary dog Peros, right? They keep calling them, and they're like lugging those giant military crates like up and down the mountain as they like chase our heroes, and they finally take them out for the last gun battle, and it's like all these mismatched, weird like belt fed machine guns. Like, what the fuck?
That scene threw me off. It made me chuckle. I'm like, come on. Like, at that point, if you're going to lug something heavy, lug, like, you know, like, explosives or, like, rocket launchers.
I thought it was going to be a fucking, like, couple rocket launchers or, like, howitzers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
What do you call that? Like
recoilless gun or something?
Yeah. Recoilless rifle would have been sick. Just take the whole building down.
I was, like, trying to rewatch it, and, like, one of the things that, like, occurred to me is that I think it's like the cartel's kind of inspired loosely by one of the many factions of the Gulf Cartel, because I mean they are like in Tamaulipas, because the dude's name is his nickname is El Aguijón, which is kind of like the stinger or like barb, like insect stinger.
Is that like a scorpion thing or okay?
Yeah, one of this faction, like the Gulf Cartel's split into like a whole bunch of factions: the Metros, the Rojos, Ciclones, and then the Scorpions.
There you go.
And yeah, his cartel was named El Enjambre, the Beast Swarm. So I definitely think it is kind of like a slight reference to them, not direct, because no one really makes direct references to cartels in these forms of media. Even though I think if you were to do it to the cartels, they'd probably be like, sick, man.
That sounds awesome, bro.
Yeah.
Anything that you think is cool, they would definitely think is cool.
Yeah. They'd be like, this is sick. Hell yeah, they're using my real name and shit. But no, just a quality, entertaining, slightly dumb action movie. But like I said, I watch movies. Sometimes you got to watch movies to be entertained.
Oh, for sure.
Not to take seriously.
Lots of spoofs and goofs, too. Because, like obviously, like, Pollo getting shot was just funny because it keeps happening. But, like, him and his, like, he's a Zoomer. So, of course, he's got, like, sick-ass sneakers he's going to wear, right, like, on his day off. And, like, one of the bits is his sneakers are all fucked up and he's sad, which is very funny. At the very beginning of the movie, our trusty captain, the leader of the group, is like, meeting with some old buddy of his at, like, a little bar. And his buddy hasn't paid his tab in like a fucking 3 years. Like, he's making a big stink to like, oh, I'll pay for you. You know, you don't make any money in the army. And they go up to the bartender and he's like, this motherfucker owes me like 800 pesos, dog. Like, don't trust him at all. Very funny.
Yeah, that game that we're playing, I've never seen it, so I wish I could describe it to you.
It looked like yachts or like bar dice, but like then the dice, some of them had like eight numbers on them. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, like I've never seen that. Like that just looks strange to me. I wish I could tell you what that was. What did you catch any other gun goofs? Like I said, I mostly caught that the backward scope.
No, I don't think so. So some of the ammo looked weird, to be honest. They look like some of the stuff that they were loading into the mags, I thought looked kind of weird. Like, I guess like movie blanks, maybe for like legal reasons, they couldn't have like live ammo on set.
That could be a possibility.
It could be. I mean, it's again, right? These are like small sins. I'd be like really upset if this was, you know, not a Netflix movie. And if it was billed like Warfare or something, and this was like, you know, very realistic, and then like it had these problems, I'd be angry, but not for this.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I was gonna say, like, a ton of these rifles had like huge muzzle devices on them, right? Like the flash hiders, basically, they had enormous flash hiders on them, which is like, I guess, like for a dumb guy action movie, just makes the gun look cooler, but is like very impractical. Like, it doesn't make sense.
It looked like they were using like 50 caliber, like flash hiders on ARs.
Yeah. The one that he had, it literally looked like in some of the shots, it looked like he had a recoil device from like a Barrett 50 cal, right? That like that kind of like it's like a long chevron, I guess.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah, used to cauterize the at one point the cheek of Tanque.
Tanque gets I don't know if it's clear if he gets shot or cut or something, and they have to burn his poor face to like fix him.
When I saw the poster, I thought he was like a cartel guy, and it was like a face tattoo, but it was just his face like being like like just fucked, no, just like messed up from like, you know, like, because I saw it, I'm like, why is like half of his face like just like red? Is that like a horrible tattoo? So like, what's this dude doing in like the Mexican special forces if that's the case?
I appreciate that they did the bit where they have like an old grizzled guy, right, along with these like people of different ages, right? Maybe not the most realistic thing, but like very fun.
Yeah, yeah, and he was I think a lieutenant, right? Like,
yeah, he's pretty low on the totem pole for being an old guy, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm guessing probably like older enlisted that eventually turned officer or something, like one of those. That's kind of the vibe I got from him. Yeah. What else? What else did I see? What else stuck out to me? The ridiculous C-Mag on the cartel.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Like that it didn't jam, which is known in among Mexican, the beta C-Mag is known as like the bull balls, huevo de toros.
The slang thing. We're talking about the double. There's like a double cylindrical barrel, right? A drum mag, right? Where it's like, and it's a classic look. It's like see through on the front, so you can kind of do like an ammo check as you go. Those things are notorious for being just fucked up and jamming and breaking all the time. Drum mags generally are, by the way, but like those are mostly for looks. They're not particularly functional. And by the way, this is the same. This is, you know, El Jefe, right? So like when he stands up and shoots at the house, he's just unloading like at a crazy clip, just like hundreds of rounds right out of his double drum mag fucking AR or whatever. It's sick.
This cool mindless action movie, which is, you know, if I'm Trump right now, I'm afraid of other countries' action movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Haven't seen anything like this happening into America.
He's putting us to shame
in America in a while. Like, look at Warfare. At least with this movie, you could tell all the characters were different.
Yeah, you know? I mean, war and the subject matter, right? Like I did enjoy Warfare. We talked about it on the show, but like our most realistic war film was basically about how like amazingly incompetent we were, right? It's just like, give us some, you know, Rambo style. Well, I guess no, Rambo is a bad example of
Rambo 2 style.
Rambo 2, yes, not First 3. Blood. Do not do that.
Do
that's more like Warfare.
Do we want to forget Rambo 3 where he fights with the Mujahideen?
We got to. I mean, that's you know, that's another war where we get to win.
We'll get to win this time.
So I gotta ask, like, are there, cause everybody, from what I've heard, everybody has like a different Netflix, if you've ever like done the thing of like logging on to your wife's Netflix, you realize that like, it's not just that you get recommended different stuff. You will never see the stuff that other people get recommended. So like, I assume you watch a lot of Spanish shows on Netflix.
My wife has been like binging a lot of Spanish stuff, and I think I accidentally got on hers and like started to watch it, which is how I found this movie.
Oh,
and then she was like, "Man, you're messing up my algorithm."
Oh, so you're like, fucking up her algorithm. That's awesome. Do you know if there's a lot of like Netflix productions in Spanish, particularly for Mexican audiences?
There's some, and I think a lot of it is growing just because it's kind of cheaper, and you know they're finding out like, hey, this can make money, you know, like Grant, and it's using a lot of like there's a lot of like production in Spanish. I know that there's the new Argentinian series El Eternauta, which is based off of a comic book that's pretty old. Mm-hmm. But done by a guy that was disappeared by their junta back in the 70s.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
Like, no, it's really good. It's sci-fi. I read the graphic novel years ago. The guy was disappeared by the junta, as were four of his daughters, too.
Oh, this is after he wrote the comic book.
Yeah.
Oh, then that's tragic. Holy fuck.
Yeah. His at least a couple of his daughters were pregnant, so a lot of people think his kids are out there. And because the junta thing that the Chile and Argentina did a lot of like, oh, well, we captured a dissident that's pregnant. We're going to have her give birth and then we're going to adopt this kid out to like a right wing family or some shit.
Oh, man, that is dark shit, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. So
there's more Spanish productions out there and that I definitely want to check out. And I think there's cool stuff down the pipe.
Yeah, I gotta say that's gotta be a no brainer for Netflix because like not only is it so much easier and cheaper than like you know because like Netflix has produced shit for like in Polish, which is like, what are they doing over there? It's so much easier and cheaper to just like jump across the border. I mean, I imagine some of this stuff has got to be filmed in the United States, right? Like with just Americans that speak Spanish, right? And you're opening up a whole new market, you know, possibly not just to Mexicans, right? There's a whole continent, right, down south of us, that of Spanish speakers for whom, you know, this content might not be tailor made for, but it's certainly mutually intelligible with. I would expect a lot more like Spanish speaking content out of like a place like Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. One of their big series back in the day, which I'm still tripping myself up that I haven't watched, is about like a Mexican soccer team called Club de Cuervos. Which is, I feel bad that I'm a soccer fan and everyone was telling me, you got to watch this show, man. Because there is some ridiculous shit that absolutely happens in the Mexican League. Like to keep it on the subject of drug cartels, one of the clubs is owned, Club Tijuana is owned by a gentleman by the name of Jorge Hank Ron, who owns a casino, has been rumored to have ties with like the Arellano Felix cartel.
Oh,
like, yeah.
Is it known as like a cartel club?
No, not exactly. I mean, people joke about it being in Tijuana and related to a cartel, but like, not related to a cartel, but like related to a guy that is, that does business with the cartels. Cause I think I've said it before that like, if you're already rich and you deal with the cartels, you'll turn into like transnationally wealthy. If you're poor, if you're kind of like poor and kind of climbing the ranks, you'll get like upper middle class. Think Tony Soprano,
right,
where he's
right.
living in a McMansion. Like they're not going to turn like super, like the already rich people have like layers of, you know, lawyers and political connections that can kind of, you know, defend them a bit, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes sense. By the way, one of the things in the movies is that the main antagonists, right? These two brothers, and they're like a gang of like thugs, basically, and like mercenaries. Like their prime motivation for going after our, you know, special forces heroes is that the special forces killed their father. And I was wondering, like, is like, would the, with like the high level military in Mexico, I would assume that like low level cartel guys are probably going to try and steer clear of that, right? Like that's an insane amount of heat to bring on themselves.
Oh, that they normally wouldn't do that, right? Like I was thinking about like the shitty car that they're driving in, and I thought like, that's kind of dumb. But then I thought about it. I'm like, oh no, that actually makes sense. Because like, remember like about 15 years ago when two Texas DEA agents drove from, I think they were driving from like McAllen to like San Luis in Mexico. And the agents were like saying like, why aren't we flying? You guys are giving us like a black up armored Suburban.
Oh no.
And so they get ambushed by like the Gulf cartel. And because they were thinking like, oh, these are a rival cartel. Like they're driving a blacked out Suburban. Mm-hmm. And then their reaction is like, oh shit.
Oh no.
Oh shit, we're fucked. Oh shit, we're fucked. And so yeah, like usually they're smart enough to steer clear from that. Like, but not always, you know.
Or they should just put them in like a Nissan Altima and they would have been fine.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, like I said, not always, cartels don't always like steer clear from them. I mean, look at the recent ambush that happened with them with the IED attack. Although I think they were thinking it was just regular military.
I think that
like the cartel that like did that to him is probably just like got to be freaking out right about now.
Oh, I am going through like my like tabs, and there's a great let me send it to you. There's a great still where the guy Tulke is because he leaves to go on their little to go on their R&R trip. He like they all change clothes and he's got like socks and Crocs on. It's so funny.
Oh,
he's like Mexican unked up, dude. It's very funny.
Yeah. They have to give the guy boots.
Yeah.
They capture the boots off of a dude, which is like, hell yeah, you have to.
Very funny, man.
Whoa, I'm proud of this. Like number one in 30 countries,
yeah.
Switzerland, Luxembourg, Portugal, Lebanon, Brazil, and Argentina. Hell
Because when you
yeah,
sent it to
dude.
me, I looked it up and I was like, this movie looks really good. It's getting like good reviews and like apparently like Netflix is very happy with it. Like, you know, ton of people are watching. I'm telling you, man, Spanish speaking stuff, you know, my guess is that the cartel angle plays to a lot of what people maybe want to see in a Mexican you know action movie, but it's certainly been successful. I would expect to see more of this kind of stuff, right?
I could definitely see a sequel coming down the pipes.
There you go.
Definitely want the bigger, but give these guys a bigger budget. Like I said, I want to see the narco tank. I want to see a technical.
Oh, hey, I did have one more question. Like with regard to like our conversation about Sicario 2. Remember, we had a conversation about weird Spanish and hiring actors that aren't necessarily Mexican for like Mexican ears. I assume there wasn't probably any of that in Contratac, huh? The whole thing, by the way, isn't Spanish. There's like no English at all, right?
There was, I think, like a few like just screw ups in terms of the dialogue, and I think it had to do with it being primarily written by people from Mexico City. Like
Oh.
they reference to like the female sicaria, like mentions, like they're going to Chuco Town. Chuco Town is El Paso. Yeah, these dudes are like in like Matamoros, Brownsville area. Like that would, there's no way you could make that
That came
trip.
across in the subtitle translation. I was like, did they screw up or were they going to drive to El Paso? I don't get it.
Yeah,
But I'm
yeah.
like,
So
that's
that made
really
no sense
far.
to me. So I think that was just kind of like misspeak people misspeaking and not knowing northern culture. These cosmopolitan Mexico City types not knowing what how us hicks in the north speak, you know.
Is Chuco just like what El Paso is called, or is that like a slang term?
It's Chuco Town short for Pachuco Town. So yeah, like the old
Oh, it's literally okay. I
Yeah,
gotcha.
and then it got shortened from like Chuco. And I guess it is kind of implied that Sicaria is from like Chihuahua, because Chihuahuan people like say their CH is weird, so it'd be like Chihuahua instead of Chihuahua. Because
Oh,
I
I
did
didn't know
notice that in
that.
her. Yeah, I caught that. So I guess it's maybe implied that she's from like Chihuahua State, where they speak that.
By
They
the way,
speak that way.
she does the other classic like action movie trope of a secret ring, I think, filled with cocaine that you put on a knife that you then snort off your knife, which very cool. We love to see a badass female mercenary, killer mercenary, doing coke off of a knife from her secret ring. Which is like,
Breaking the glass ceiling, you
there
know.
you go, man.
I will not dare to call her a DEI hire, because
DEA
she'd
hire.
probably kill me. DEA hire, yes. No, I'm like actually surprised it's like as popular as it was back then. Like I said, I mean, I caught it a bit late. It came out like in February, but
Yeah, it's been out for a couple months.
no. Like I said, I'm glad. This is cool.
So Connor's gone for now. So I'm kind of drawing close on the film discussion, but there's so much more to talk about with the Guzman family and El Chapo. So just in the news from like the last, is it a couple weeks? So I think the Mexican elections, some of them are today. And one of the things that I came across just when I was just generally Googling Guzman was that his ex-defense attorney in, I think, the first case against him. She was his defense attorney. It was the first case against him in Mexico, the first time he was locked up, is running as a judge in the current Mexican elections. So Sylvia Delgado, and she's kind of like defending herself, right? Like in the public eye, being like, I mean, it was literally my job to be a defense attorney, so like, what are you mad at me about? Right? Like, I mean, I guess she did get to choose her client, but like, what? I can be a judge now. It's fine. He lost. What do you want? He's in jail.
Yeah, I saw that, and I think like people are, I mean, you can look at it like both ways. Mexico's judicial elections, like long story short, they're gonna judges are gonna be elected, right? But pretty much all judges, pretty much in all levels, right? Usually, like in the U.S., some states have, like, you know, I know Texas has Supreme Court judges and local judges that are elected. And it's gotten some pushback. I don't necessarily think it's going to be that bad of a thing, given that, you know, the corruption's already out there. Like, you have, like, local judges, state judges that will release, like, cartel guys when they're captured. Sometimes, like, it, and again, this movie kind of like talks about it too, where it's like the number two of the guys, the brother of the head cartel guy, gets arrested, and then he's out like a couple of days later.
What do you, by the way, what do you make of this notion that I see sometimes in like American media? I guess the implication, like basically the implication that that Chapo specifically has become somewhat of like a weird folk hero to some Mexicans, like, especially given the idea that like he comes from a gentler time, like that he was battling the Zetas and he was like part of an old order that then got replaced with something worse. Like, I don't, do some Mexicans like Chapo? Like, I wouldn't think so.
I mean, I think like, it's just kind of like how, you know, the US people are like, they look at it like older mafia guys and be like, those people used to be about respect.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's kind of where it, okay, where it comes from.
So, right? Never mind. Now that I'm imagining a Staten Island guy, I can definitely see how some Mexicans could like Guzman, because there's a ton of people who still like the kind of gangsters that are locked up now that are like,
yeah,
what was it, like a John Gotti, right? Or just like, yeah, they should let him out. It's like,
yeah,
why?
Yeah. He's a murderer. Yeah, he did bad things, but you know, the old mafia used to be about respect, yeah, you know? That's why I think like these dudes are gonna pot, like so many dudes would watch, like, you know, Chapo talking to Sammy the Bull Gravano.
Yeah, like, they would love that. I would listen to that.
Yeah, every dude that has like a bunch of Joker posters would be watching that.
Yeah,
Joker posters and like Peaky Blinders shit would be watching that. No, that's why I think, like, that's why the way I think, like, people view Chapo, you know, and a lot of the cartel people.
Speaking of, I mean, if Chapo has famously like been a guy that not only, right, has had a lot of connections with the American state, right, if not the Mexican state, then the American state law enforcement apparatus. But like, you know, this man made a lot of money, and that money paid, yeah, off a lot of people. So like this deal with his family, there's some speculation that it's basically a deal, possibly to do more, his son, right, or people that are still kind of, let's say, more connected with the current state of play of like the drug war in Mexico, that this might be in exchange for their knowledge about the Sinaloa cartel or dealings with other cartels. Like, what's your take on that? Stop there.
That's kind of what I think they're doing, is that they're selling people out just to kind of keep their, you know, pretty much keep their bag. But I also think that the Chapo, the Guzman family, also understands that in Mexico, as it stands right now, it's literally a bunch of mid-level guys fighting for turf at this point. You know, so they're kind of cashing in and like leaving.
Right.
You know, I think,
and I assume that they're always going to be targets for as long as they live in, you know, in Mexico, if not just for like bragging rights of like some crazy kid being like, I killed, you know, yeah, Chapo's, you know, whatever, cousin or some shit.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think they're cashing in. I don't think the elder Guzman himself expects to get like any sort of treatment, but I think he does expect like maybe lighter sentences for his kids, you know, by selling other people out, you know, trying to keep them in, you know, having his family keep their fortunes and, you know, their money and stuff.
Heck, as for as much wheelings and dealings that he did, I mean, he's an ADX Florence, and I don't really foresee him ever getting out. I mean, the feds are not one to just drop a life sentence, you know, that they put on a guy.
I mean, who knows what the way Trump is giving out pardons?
That would be crazy, Rafael. That would be nuts, man.
Gonna pardon P. Diddy.
He's not that bad.
Mr. Guzman Loera, I talked to him. He's a good guy. Great businessman. Very ambitious.
Great businessman. It's so crazy. I mean, you know what? Like, it would go with that thing. Remember that Trump interview where he goes like, he's like, "What, you think our hands are so clean?" If you like,
exactly.
He's like, you'd be shocked at the deals we've made with Mr. Guzman over the years. I'm not going to talk about it. like yeah. That would be wild if he found out like how much kind of behind the scenes shit went on between, you know, the Justice Department and the Sinaloa cartel over the years.
Which we're not going to probably find out for like 10, 20 years, yeah. Which like, I mean, just look at how like, no one in the English speaking media really covered this, like, you know, black op that happened in everyone's face. So that's kind of wild to think about. And I think like in a lot of ways, like the Guzman family also understands that they, not only do they have wealth, but they also have a brand. Right. Like, I think in a couple of years, you're going to see them being like consultants and shit and on like films, like executive producers and shit. Like, I would not be surprised by that.
When we talked about Sicario way back when, right, that they use that word as like a metonym, or they're like Medellin, and they're talking about the, you know, the Colombian cartel or whatever. And for a little bit, we talked about like Sinaloa, and I did like more reading after that, because I guess it was not clear to me like how much Guzman is a figure, but like him and his gang basically set up all of like the modern trafficking structure into the United States, and how like that produced that relationship with the United States too, right? Where like that kind of stuff doesn't happen without somebody on the other side to receive it, right? And I'm not just saying like the government, you know, just let drugs flow in, but as is depicted in a weird way in that film, like they did make choices, right? And one of those choices was to allow guys like Guzman to operate by, you know, letting us, together with the Mexican government, shut down a bunch of his rivals. And that was, for a long time, a win-win, right? And that idea that it purports that, like, there was a kindler, gentler time to drug trafficking, there was probably, like, a bit of a honeymoon where, you know, before, you know, the advent of the Zetas and, like, the utter, like, chaos of the later part, I guess, of the 2020 aughts, right, where things really descended into just madness, where that probably seemed like a good deal, right? And my understanding is that's when Guzman like makes his fortune, right? That's what makes Guzman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. Like, it's he went from, you know, drug boss, you know, cartel boss, to kind of like a legend and almost like a name brand, right? Like, you know, like people know who Chapo is, right? Like, you know, you go around and like I go around in like cities in Dallas, like you go to a bazaar, you'll see like stuff with his merch on there, with his face on there.
Oh, wow.
You know, like posters, like shirts and shit, you know? You know, just the way you see, you know, like kids with like wearing like a Scarface shirt or a Pablo Escobar shirt. You see shit like with El Chapo now.
Bro, I've absolutely seen El Chapo shirts in Houston, 100% at like the mall. Yeah, it's just, that strikes me as funny that in Mexico, but like it has been a long time since, you know, he wasn't basically in jail in prison. Yeah, no, but that fits though. Yeah, that totally fits.
Yeah, and I think like the thing with El Chapo is that like, you know, he ended up believing his brand as much as he did, you know? Like, compare him to the current head of, like, Jalisco Nueva Generación, who is a dude that's insanely anonymous. Like, you literally look him up. Oseguera, I think. Nemeso? Or Nemesio Oseguera. Just one grainy picture of him is all that exists.
Yeah, that's wild.
Right? As opposed to, like, other
Chapo games. Was running around for, like, more than a decade, right? Like, after the second time he got out, when he was just on the lam forever. What did he got finally captured after he went to, like, a wedding or some shit? Like, just...
No, he like what happened, I was rereading this book about how he got captured. He got captured on accident.
On accident?
Because keep in mind, he broke out of jail twice.
Yeah.
He broke out in the late 90s from a prison in Jalisco called Puente Grande, and then was caught in, what was the name of that operation? Caught by, I think, like in 2014 by, at first it was said to be the Mexican Marines, but it was actually Mexican Marines and a whole bunch of like U.S. law enforcement dressed as Mexican Marines. Oh, so again, wow. Real life, straight up Sicario shit. Mm-hmm. And then he gets captured and breaks out of pretty much what's Mexicans like ADX Florence Altiplano. Where he built
that was the tunneling one, right? With a motorcycle in it.
Yeah, his first breakout, he just went into got into a laundry cart and got out that way. And but Altiplano, so I guess it would be the third time he got captured on accident. The Mexican federal police were scoping out one of his lieutenants. Trying to think of his name, I cannot remember. And they find him in a safe house. And they're like, holy shit, this is Guzman. And they break out for a little bit and they catch the guy. And they take the tunnel, then the sewers to a hotel at the edge of a town in Sinaloa called a city called Los Mochis. And they catch him in a motel there, the federal police. And they're like, all the while, Chapo's trying to bribe him. Hey, I mean, I can give you a whole bunch of money. Oh, I can make you rich. Yeah. I can give you all these lands. And the federal police, they're like, we're just going to call the Marines and pray that they get here.
The third time they captured him is because they assault this safe house. He escapes through a tunnel and gets away. And then they're like, fuck, we lost them again. And then somebody calls the local police department and was like, yeah, my car just got fucking stolen. I just got carjacked by somebody. And they're like, they run the plates and they fucking find his ass.
Carjacking. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, well, holy shit, it's Chapo.
And the cops stop him and he literally just tries to bribe him. And they're like, we're going to get murdered if we take this bribe. There's no way this is going to work.
It's literally you're stuck, but it's a devil's bargain. So which one do you choose? It's it could be one of those games where you choose the outcome. Like what decision do you take, you know? And so, yeah, it's just wild shit, right? Dude's a brand into his own, at this point.
And so given that, I wonder, is there something, more broadly to be said just, about him and his family just all ending up in the United States at, the end of it? It's such a weird, if he failed to basically receive justice in Mexico, partially, I guess, just because he's so good at fucking tunneling after all. But him and all of his family ending up coming to the United States, especially under the Trump administration, just seems it feels so Sicario in a way, right?
It does, you know, it does. But it also makes me think of someone like Marco Rubio's 6 degrees of separation to drug trafficking. You know about that, right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. With him, I think it was his uncle-in-law or brother-in-law being the money guy for a guy that was in Tiger King of all fucking shows, dude. A guy by the name of Trabaure, just the Cuban animal guy.
Marco Rubio and that whole Cuban diaspora is spooked up to hell, though. And connection to drug trafficking, right? They're all kind of 6 degrees away from something.
They are. And that's kind of why I think that guy that was featured in Tiger King, that disgusting last name to pronounce, Trabaure, weird. I don't know what that was from. But I'm guessing that's where a lot of people say that's where the inspiration for Scarface came from, where they chop a dude up with chainsaws.
Yeah.
He did that. And since Trabaure's dad was actually knee deep with the Bay of Pigs. Got captured there. Mm-hmm. So literally bet your pinky finger Yakuza style that dude was spooked up to hell. I'm confident. Yeah. Literally I could say that with confidence.
There's just something about when I read that and I was Chapo's family getting literally smuggled across the border into the United States is so perfect. It's such a perfect bow to put on this whole thing.
Yeah. And like I said, the blowback from the Ukraine war is already on the North American continent. I think you'll start seeing in English-speaking media soon about all these Colombian Ukrainian or Colombian mercenaries that fought in Ukraine.
They
know how to build bombs. They know how to use drones. And that shit's about to
the new wave of Mexican drug war violence is drones, dropping grenades. Yeah. That's going to be crazy.
Because I mean, like, I mean, Colombian mercenaries. I mean, they remember that they killed the Haitian president or prime minister too. And again, all roads lead to Florida because those guys were hired by a guy in Florida.
No.
Damn, America's Gehenna, as I call Florida here. Like, yeah.
Well, I don't think it's going to be the last we hear about Chapo and his family. They seem to always be like a recurring theme in the news. Like at least every couple of years, there's like some big story about it. So like, you know, and it's a big family, so.
Yeah, this cartel stuff ain't going away anytime soon, and
Nah.
hopefully I'll be back to talk. Mexican drug war is about to get a lot more interesting with all these vets from coming back from Ukraine to the Americas.
All right, Raphael,
Yeah.
thanks so much for coming on, man. This was a very good recommendation and a great excuse to talk about cartel stuff, given all the Chapo Guzman news as of late.
All right, I'll see y'all too another time. We
Yeah,
gotta
definitely,
do
man.
King of the Hill or do Landman. I got more downtime
Oh, there's so
now, so I
much
can watch
garbage
Stitcher.
of propaganda TV to watch. So the next time we see something interesting about the drug war, we'll try and have Raphael on again. Connor's not here. He went to go to dinner. So I'll do the send off. Excelsior propagandos, and keep your eyes on the skies. I think I did an all right one, Raphael. That was okay.
All right, no.
My friend Billy, who you know, he has not beaten them yet, and I think that I am better than him because of this.
The game's been out for like years at this point.
It sure has.
It sure has. It sure has.
Yeah.
Right you are, Tim.
Yeah. So I lord that over him a little bit. And then the DLC is so insanely hard. But Night Reign is like Fortnite meets Elden Ring. So you have like a time constraint to how long you can do, like,
Fortnite?
yeah.
What? What's the
Yeah, so
Fortnite angle on that?
there's like a ring of fire that is getting smaller and smaller, and once it gets as small as
Oh,
it can,
okay.
you fight like the boss, the Night Lord.
The Night Lord.
And
Oh, scoundrel tarnished, haven't you met our Night Lord?
and I played today with two former guests on the show, Ned and Rahul. Fun. Rahul is very fun to play with.
You'll be
Ned is also
sorry
fun
when
to
the
play with.
Night Lord gets here.
Ooh, wait till the Night Lord sees this one.
You think you're so fucking tough then, tarnished?
You don't even have maidens, you maidenless
Maidenless
bastard.
bastard. You must have not done the.
Who's the puppet lady where you like marry her and fly away to the moon?
Oh, Ranala?
Okay,
It's
sure.
Ranala.
She's a
No,
blue
wait.
puppet.
No, Ronnie. Ronnie.
Yeah,
Ronnie.
Ronnie's. I'm also one of these guys that like has only seen all the cutscenes on YouTube. It's like Ronnie, the age of the moon. It's like whatever, lady. Go.
Yeah, Renata. Yeah. She's the moon witch. Her daughter's Renala, who like cast this big ass fucking moon spell. I'm sure if we're including this in the record while we wait for our guests to arrive, I'm sure our Elden Ring listeners are pulling their hair out.
Our Elden Lords.
Yeah. Our tarnished listeners.
What are the endings are? You can burn everything down with the chaos fingers.
You can burn
You
everything
get fingered
down.
by chaos and you
You
burn
get
everything
fingered by
down.
chaos. You can you pick a maiden. So like
Well,
I
there's the
married
main lady, right? The like,
Ronnie.
yeah, the lady that gives you a horse.
Oh, that's someone else. What is
She's
her
not your
fucking name?
maiden?
No. In fact, she's
Oh,
just like
what?
I think you can pick her as your maiden. I didn't. I went with Ronnie. Because if you do Ronnie's quest, you meet Blade, the Wolf Man. It's fucking cool.
He's fucking
He's got a
cool.
cool sword.
You kill him, though. I think you murder him.
Yes, that's how you get his cool sword.
Oh, man.
But it's only because he's driven to madness because he's a wolf man.
Oh, he
And
wasn't before. It had nothing to do with the fact that you took his, you know, showed up and started fucking the chick that he serves.
No, he's just like,
I'm sure he was fine with that.
He's like, I'm your friend. And then you meet War Master EG. He's like, I got bad news about Blade. He's loco, amigo.
And then the guy with the shiny jar on his head.
Yeah, yeah. And so then you go to where Blade is, and he's just like going crazy. He's like, ah. But that does happen after Ronnie's like, you're pretty cute, you know. And so maybe you're right. Maybe he does go crazy because he's like, I had a crush on
her. He's an incel. Yeah, he goes nuts. Yeah.
When you find him, he's sitting in the shower biting his knees.
No, poor guy. Yeah. I know one of the other endings is you meet the poop lord in the dungeons and you absorb the poop curse and then you turn the whole world into poop.
I think Ned did the poop lord thing.
The dungeon 100%. Man, the dung eater.
The dung eater.
Loathsome dung eater.
Yeah. And then if you ask him, he's like, it's not that bad. You get used to it.
I don't understand what's the difference between burning the world down with chaos and turning everything into poop? It sounds very similar to me. I don't know. These are different flavors of shit.
Yeah.
Which is funny because if you do the regular ending, it's just like the bad ending, right? If you do like the thing that everybody wants, which is just like, keep everything the same. You're just Elden Lord now. Everybody's like, okay, lame.
Yeah.
Get rid of this tree, man. Can we stop it with the tree already?
The Erd tree.
So yeah. So while we're still waiting for Raphael, what is the little boy? So there's the brother and the sister, and one of them's the rot lady, and she's super hard as a boss.
Yeah, Millennia, and then Malekith. Malekith.
Whatever. Again. There was the good kid, and he died in an egg or something.
Yeah, that's Malekith.
Do you ever reincarnate him?
Yeah, he's actually the final. I believe he's the final boss or second to final boss of the DLC, Shadows of the Erdtree.
Do you kill him?
You kill him. He comes out of the egg, and you kill him, and then he's revived, and you kill him again.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought he was the only good one.
I don't think I think they're all like pretty corrupt and crooked.
Okay, they're all fucked up. Never mind.
Ronnie's just like, please kill my white trash. I'm the only one who went to college.
Micaeus? Or is that a magic card? Micaela. Micaela? Micaela.
Micaela.
Micaela Voltra.
Micaela is the rot lady. Micaela, I called her, but Micaela might be correct. It's not like she comes out and is like, my name is Micaela.
Hello. Elden Ring famous for its exposition monologues before boss battles, where they tell you exactly what's going on in the game.
If anything, they come out and be like, I smell your blood. It's sweet like death. And then they just like one hit you.
It's still. Like,
wow. All right.
I'm an evil zombie lion guy.
I've fought so many of those fucking lion zombies.
I thought I made that up.
No, they're very common. They're very, very common.
That is specifically is a thing that happens in that game.
I cannot believe I'm talking Elden Ring lore on anything. I know so little.
Specifically with me, like, somebody who's never played the game.
It's something that like I don't give a fuck about, and not to like poo-poo it or anything, but the game stands on its own. I don't need to watch all those videos. And in fact, I think if you do get deep into the lore, you suck.
I am one of those people that reads like Warhammer lore sometimes. I mean, that is really bottom of the barrel shit. On like the like fandom websites that log your browser out and like crash your computer. It's very unhealthy.
Do we need to do a Warhammer episode? Because I know it's...
I know a guy.
It's basically like where, you know, America's heading. You think we're getting to Dune future?
Oh, he said... Raphael says he's about to get on. I mean, hopefully... I mean, I don't... We're getting a Dune future because there's going to be another fucking movie, which is going to rule.
Hey.
What up, Raphael?
Hey, hold on. Using my wife's camera. Let's get this picture going.
Dude, we can see the boy.
Quality, baby.
He's looking very nice.